sound.
It is poetical choice to refuse sound.
Yes, then that's another thing. The choice is poetic, not the action. Mm-hmm. Of course, poetics is a creative process where we change physical movement and transform it into dance. That's the poetics is in the dance, not in any movement that I'm doing now. And that's the poetics. And I'm sorry, boxes creating sound. No, it's not poetics. It can be transformed, yes, into poetics.
But you are talking about, and that's where I beg to differ, Giuseppe, about boxes creating sound, noise. Sorry, I beg to differ.
It's not the boxes.
Now, whether it's mechanical boxes, it's electronic boxes.
But in fact, the futurist revolution in sound and music was precisely the creation of sound and noise. This is the beauty of it now. How do you create noise? Noise cannot be created because it's a primitive, primordial action of man.
Yes,
but the futurists wanted to create
and
noise.
Isn't the primordial action of man like the concept of the bite we were talking about yesterday, which Emmanuel Mifsud said in the article? Isn't this primordial part of humanity also?
Yeah, of course. I said of man.
So well, noise can be used poetically.
Of course, that's what I said. But noise itself is not poetics.
No, noise by itself is not.
That's what I'm saying.
Even the note C by itself is not. Just
no,
by itself.
A note C is something else. It doesn't exist.
On its own, it has no poetics if you play it by itself.
Not only, it does not exist.
No, the thing is, I think the fact that we can produce a tone, that is
process.
That's poetic.
Process.
But to have a natural sound, it's there.
And leaving it as it is.
As it is, you're not changing it.
I'm not debating the importance of the 20th century. Like Duchamp in the arts Cage, etc.
I mean, at this point...
But now we have reached, now, it's a whole 150 years of experimentation.
At this point, like,
let's start creating some poetics.
I mean, for example, the way how I look at music, I not only at music, I think in life. I mean, it's exactly what Proust describes. It's not what you say. The subject matter is nearly irrelevant, but it's the way how you do it. It's that, and that's what is poetic about it. I mean, a chord, you can have a beautiful chord, but so what? Mm-hmm. How does that become tangible in the composition? Or why should that chord be, and how do I orchestrate that chord, or how shall I represent it, or how shall I hide that chord?
I agree completely with Carl.
Hallelujah.
Carl is talking with me about a chord.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with a sound which you find outside. If you leave it as it is in its context, especially if it's in its context, there's no poetics in it, there's no art in it. But it depends then on the way that what you want to say with it.
No, but
Carl is talking about the chord as a sound object. But in my viewpoint of music, a sound object can be anything. It depends, as you well said.
It depends if you do it musically.
It depends on. Now, what is musically?
I mean,
because we can debate for 4 hours what is musically.
I don't think so. I think, for example, let's take a very, very simple example. I think one of the greatest composers who managed to do music with everyday things was not John Cage, but was Ligeti.
Yes, I agree, yes.
Because with basic stuff, he managed to create something which is musical. I mean, not just only rhythmical, or it's very intelligent and subtly done. So the fact that it's like that, there's a kind of finesse in it.
Yes.
That, I mean, with all our technology nowadays, it sounds barbaric. Mm-hmm.
So, Carl and Ruben, excuse me, Melanie and Irene, I'd like to change slightly. I like gear, because what you're saying reminded me of a fantastic thing. Really, it's Fort Wangler's thesis that if we're going to separate materiality in creation, from the spirituality of mankind, will end up with the Holocaust, with the concentration camps, and with genocide. I'm quoting, that was a quote. And what Ruben was saying, although I'm sure you were not implying this, is this predominance of materiality within the creative process, which frightens me a bit, following Furtwängler's statement. But how can we link creativity with spirituality to fight against the predominance of materiality in the arts? And that would bring us back to the Imdina Biennale theme.
Yes, you know, it's a very tough question.
It is, actually. I agree with Giuseppe that the materialist aspect is present, yes, in a lot of modern music, and even if we go into the commercial.
But how do you link your works music with spirituality?
Now, how do I link my works with spirituality?
If you're so deeply underlining the electronic part, which is the materiality part.
Well, no, I do not agree.
Okay.
Because the spirituality can come through the electronics. And I'm
not saying that. You are predominantly underlining the electronic part of creative.
Okay,
there's nothing wrong.
Now, can I explain how, for example, I use electronics to use the creativity and spirituality in a work of mine which was in 2011?
Yes, of course you can, but yes. the question is the spirituality.
The Poetics of La Harmole, uh-huh, which is a piece for soprano and 5.1 surround, mm-hmm, is about child abuse in different ways. Now, I feel a lot about that because I spent quite a few years teaching children and I have two small kids. So instead of using the traditional way of setting words to music, I recorded four folk Maltese songs and used the electronics to create a work which spiritually reflects this child abuse by using such sounds as children chopped up, literally. And that's how my spirituality is linked through electronics.
Fija di spirituali.
Ma fija spirituali.
Continue recording.
Child abuse.
A reflection for child abuse fija spirituality. U zgulli fija spirituality fija.
Komplo.
Il-bniedem adult qiegħed jabbuża mill-offspring tiegħu stess. U zgulli fija element ta' spiritualità kbira.
Skull.
Ija l-iktar ħaġan, jeni għalija waħda mill-aktar qasajiet dark tal-bniedem, fis-spiritualità tal-bniedem li bniedem jasal biex jabbuża mill-offspring tiegħu stess, meta aħna totalment hemm il-continuation of the species. U żgur li hemm spiritualità sejuda fija dik. And this pertaining, but there's no way to for pedophilia and so on. Mem labda mot li you justify it. It's a sickness. I'm sorry. It's the black side of human spirituality. One of the black sides. The other black side being war, for example, greed.
Now, ma nafx, forsi better rephrase it, ma nafx, jinda li daħħadni il-mod kifetta, tifem, miex.
Għandek raġuni, ma però ti tisma' xogħol biex tifem. Tisma' xogħol. Taħħa li tirrekordja.
Yes, with reference to the theme of the Biennale, instead of maybe, just my opinion, maybe instead of spirituality, would it fall under the other? Because
spirituality is mostly, yeah, has to do with something positive. I mean dark spirituality, it's an oxymoron.
The other would capture more this.
It is part of human spirituality also.
Spirituality is something which is transcendent. It's not something that, you know, it's associated with the negative or the dark side of the human psyche. I think it has, I don't know, I mean,
well,
I'm not...
It can be connected because, as I was saying, the continuation of humanity, the survival of the species, are the children. Now, the spirituality of it is, if So you're thinking about the ever after, and
yeah, I think that maybe we can distinguish what we mean with the spirituality, because the use of the term that Carl is doing is referred more to the mankind, if I'm not mistaken. So something spiritual that it goes over for all the humankind. That's why it's something positive and it's recurrent.
Not dead, but it has to have. I mean, I don't believe that we have a soul. I mean, even this kind of spirituality, I mean, I don't believe at all in that.
Mm-hmm.
But
there is something
spiritual in Beethoven, for example. There is something spiritual in Les Demoiselles d'Avignon.
I agree.
For example.
That
is about it. And I think that's what you wanted to say, because Les Demoiselles d'Avignon is a... It's a brothel. I mean, but
you can have spirituality in a brothel. As you can have spirituality in the scene.
No, but it's evoking. It's not about. Actually, it's not important that you say Les Demoiselles.
Yes, you just said what I wanted to say. What it's evoking, in the case of this child abuse thing, it's evoking the feelings, the spirituality of man towards his offspring. So yes, Carl, I agree. It's what it's evoking, that's the connection with the spirituality.
Within this particular argument, I would like to add something.
On stop it.
No, because you can have a work. Let's not call it for the time being a work of art. You can have a work which is depicting, which is sort of manifesting these ideas, but yet it does not transcend its particular, I'm sorry to repeat this again, materiality, and so it becomes a mediocre work of art, although it has a very strong, substantial value, human value within it. The subject matter on its own doesn't make it a work of art, and does not make it spiritual. No, this is a radio program. I don't know, cigarettes.
He's rolling one.
Yeah, but that's up to him. Okay, so spirituality has nothing to do really with the subject matter. And as Carl was saying with the Demoiselle, I completely agree. The work of art becomes spiritual when it transcends its subject matter. Guernica is not just the village Guernica. And this is the beauty of art, I think, when it succeeds in transcending, and it becomes a value on its own.
And not only that, I mean, and then being Picasso, I mean, he wanted to show the expressionists that he can be much more than them using actually one color.
Yeah, but that's a technical.
That's also a beauty about it.
Let's go back to Shostakovich and Babia, for example, and Yevtushenko. I was lucky enough that last week Yevtushenko was in Malta, and excitingly I read his Babia in Russian and Maltese, by the way. But even Babia, in fact, I had a beautiful argument, because Babia is always interpreted as a homage to the Holocaust, which is true. It's true. That happened in Babi Yar, near Kiev, during the Nazi occupation of Kiev. This is true. But the beauty of Shostakovich and Yevtushenko is that by utilizing this subject matter, it became a universal plea, a universal spiritual prayer, not just for the Jews, but for everybody. And that's why, I mean, I'm sure that we can at least agree that the subject matter, on the contrary, you can have a poem or a socialist realist portrait of something which is spiritual, but the work itself is not.
It's not.
Absolutely. Yes. Or church, we're filled with Baroque churches and more. I don't really consider them as spiritual. Absolutely not.
Well, one also has to see the test of time for spirituality. Of the work of art,
the test element. Of time, sure.
And how it transcends not just geographical space, as you were saying, but also time. For example, my colleague mentioned Beethoven. I mean, Beethoven transcends now 160 years, so yeah. Bach even more so. So the test of time is very important. Yeah, I wonder if in music, I don't want to mention particular pop artists, but I wonder if in 300 years' time, somebody will remember if they will transcend
one of the current, you know, top 10 tracks that are this week. Yeah. So yeah, that's both.
Yes. That is absolutely.
So, and I'm pretty sure that in Beethoven's time, there were composers who composed works of art which were maybe as good technically as Beethoven was, but we don't remember now them anymore, because as you said, it doesn't transcend, and it doesn't transcend time, and time is one of the toughest tests that art has to go through.
Yes, Melanie, you haven't said anything, Melanie.
Yeah, I mean, Ruben is saying, I think, yeah, the context makes is a very important aspect about the spirituality that will transcend or not. Depends on.
Means by context. Can you please elaborate?
For example, as Giuseppe was mentioning, art in churches. Maybe for us nowadays, we don't maybe connect so much to it, so maybe it doesn't send us a message that it sent 200 years ago.
Yes, yes.
For the people for whom it was made for at the time. So the context as it was made at the time, of course, people were more religious. The religion fervor was much more active than it is today, so
in fact,
of course.
Melanie, I beg to differ. I'm sure, of course, this is a hypothetical reaction and answer. I do understand your position, really, but Guernica is going to remain spiritual, I think, forever, as Ruben is saying, it transcends time. But the subject matter, if it does not transcend in its poetics, it was never, it's not, and it will never be spiritual, whatever the time element is. This is the fora discussion which we will be trying to provoke during the Mdina Biennale 2015 event.
Mm. I wish to ask powers. Two more questions, but seems we don't have much more time.
Let's close up.
Yeah, so today we discovered more about our two guest composers, Carl Ferrini and Ruben Patch, about their current projects, about their different ideas about sound, about how to use tools artistically, about spirituality in their music. And to conclude, I remind you to visit our Biennale page, www.mdinabiennale.org, and our Facebook page, of course, to keep updated. Irene always does a great job in keeping us up to date with what's happening in the art world. Yeah, I thank you, Irene, Carl,
you.
Ruben, and Dr. Giuseppe Camri Bonacci for
Thanks.
Joining us.
Voglio andare a vivere in campagna. Voglio la rugiada che mi bagna. Ma vivo qui in città e non mi piace più. In questo traffico bestiale la solitudine ti assale e ti butta giù. Che bella la mia gioventù. Voglio ritornare alla campagna. Voglio zappare la terra e fare legna.
Have you ever worked on a project together?
Me and Carl?
Yeah.
No.
But it would be so cool if you have this debate done through their music.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it was so interesting, but and it's so...
Yes, Carl, you can compose the music and I can collect the fee.
No, that's, I mean, you know, like, back to back through your different kind of
to
music.
To be honest, I have never ever worked with another composer, I mean, on the same work. I have worked with visual artists, but I have never worked with another composer. I have never done a collaboration. Obviously, if Carl is interested, I would be interested.
Yes, I think this debate...
But it's going to take a lot of wine and cigarettes, probably.
And some music, yeah, but why not, you know? It would be very interesting, I think. And yeah, that would have been another question. Your view, your music or maybe amalgamated with visual arts. What do you think about it, or if
well,
you
I've
ever
worked,
had
I've
any
worked
projects?
I've worked with that
maybe?
Before with, what's his name, Austin Camilleri, and currently I'm working with the Max department for the multimedia opera, who are doing a video to go with the music. And I'm also working on another project with the MPO for a 35-minute piece of music with video to it. So usually the video is done, and then the video is built, and then the music is done for the video. In all the cases that I've worked so far, my music was finished, and people did video to it.
It's not a real collaboration.
Now, in the case of the Cantilena, it's a bit. I've given them the music, they do the video, they send me the files back, so they change the music a bit to work together. So it's working a bit differently. But yes, it was more in a one-way direction.
So the video was more adapted to your music then?
It was adapted to the music and to the, in the case of the MPO, more to the subject matter, because there's also there's a script by Melkim Galia. Mm-hmm. So the music follows the script, and then the video complements the music. It's a different. In the case of the work I shall be doing for the Biennale, without giving hints to my colleague so he won't copy me, it's going to be much more integrative. Giuseppe knows what it's about, right, Giuseppe?
No. No, I don't.
We just talked about it yesterday. I gave you the proposal, the one with the arts and scanning them and making a video and the electronic recording. You have a very short term memory, Giuseppe.
What about cards, visual collaboration?
Yes, cards.
I worked more with movement rather than, but movement in the sense of it's a visual thing. When you go and watch a spectacle, a dance show, or
a
performance, sorry.
Like the one Notte Bianca, Carlo, the head dancer.
Yes, that kind.
The Sinfonietta, yes?
It's something...
Sorry, collaborating live with them?
Yes. I mean, it's not just...
But it was like an improvisation, or...?
At first, when we... I had done this with performers from the London Contemporary Dance School, and with whom I kept on a working relationship. And the thing is that when we're working, we started off by improvisation, and through that improvisation, then you start finding movement and sound, so to speak, or a musical phrase, that then we elaborate on that, we improvise then on that. Mm-hmm. And it grows like that. It's not just, okay, I write the music, this is the music, do that, do the choreography. Mm-hmm. Or the choreographer, I want to do this, write that for me. That's not a collaboration. Collaboration is something that you do, it's really making an infant together with someone.
Okay.
So are you coming this evening?
Yes,
they're both coming.
Yes.
Have you paid?
No.
No, Carl is free.
Oh, Carl is free, and I have to pay.
Of course.
Great, thank you.
Carl is Carl, no.
Yeah, but we didn't discuss maybe if you have already something in mind as a project for the Biennale, both of you.
I mean, this is something that actually we go to... Our idea with Giuseppe, that was his text that we had discussed, I think, about 1.5 years ago, at least.
I can remember, so 1.5 years ago.
But that's Carlo.
But yesterday.
Those are my problems.
Fool me.
No?
Okay.
That's very annoying.
Thank God he paid already, because he would not have come tonight, probably.
I'm not coming, actually. I don't care about the building.
Well, we care. We've got the 18 euros. You don't come.
No, I can't.
That's why it's
bad
for you, because we're not coming. Ruben, so you have anything planned as a project for the Biennale?
Yes.
And
he knows about it. He was paying the fool.
Yeah.
It involves a collaboration with with visual artists, sculptures, and paintings.
Wow. And so any names that are also participating, or any?
Well, no, we're opening. I'm opening up a call for.
Oh, okay.
For
so works. It's still. Oh,
yes, okay. And there's also a text. There's okay. also a text, and there is electronics. There will be electronics.
And is it your text?
No, it's not my text.
Okay, good.
And neither is it your text.
Is it your text?
Same thing. The text is a call for application. So there's going to be text from different people.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit surprised. I'm sorry, Ruben. I'm sorry. Yesterday, Ruben and myself, we came to an agreement. Not an agreement, really. Because it's a policy of mine. I cannot discuss Carl's project with Brian. I cannot discuss Brian's project with Vince. Each one is, we're having a bilateral discussion. I cannot say what Loredana is doing, and I cannot explain Loredana's project to Rizzi, right?
Because of course.
Otherwise, it would be, first of all, unethical, unfair, etc. And today, Ruben has underlined, you know, he doesn't want to say anything because Carl might copy him. The next thing, he's attacking me because I'm not saying anything.
But I didn't give details, did I?
Yeah, we just wanted just tiny hints of what we will expect.
Tiny hints. Well, she asked me, I have to answer the nice lady, don't I?
Yeah.
I don't have to answer you, but the nice lady, yes.
I didn't ask anything. You don't have to answer anything.
No, I just wanted, you know, some hints of what we will be expecting on the radio. Not on the secret.
Share things I call that I'm going to
do. That's
better. No, not
electronic. You're coming tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We got you an extra glass of wine.
Well, I wish you say flow, you know.
Yes.
The other day a friend of mine said, he said the sun's not really yellow. He said the sun is really red. I said, my friend, what do you mean? You read that in some magazine. Next thing you'll say, the earth's not green. How can I be sure of you anymore in a world that's always changing, rearranging, always changing. Next thing you'll say, the earth's not green.